Father, how we thank thee again for thy precious word this morning. And we praise thee that the Holy Spirit is living in us to take of the things of Christ and show them unto us. We pray, Lord, that he will have unhindered right of way in our class period this morning through the instructor of this class and through every member of the class. And we ask that this morning the Holy Spirit will take of the things of Christ and make them actual unto us. Now we commit this entire week to thee, that it will be a mighty week of victory in our lives for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for any members of our class who will be witnessing for thee at the state fair this week or next week. Wilt thou be preparing them now for thy full working? And we pray, we claim the truth. Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? And we remember that Martha saw the glory of God in resurrection life when Lazarus was raised from the grave. And so, Lord, for our work at the fair this week and next week, and for our life here at the Bible College, we just claim that precious truth. Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God in resurrection life. And we say to thee this morning, Lord, we believe. Help thou our unbelief. We thank thee for what thou wilt do in our period now, because we come in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On page 30, we come to the sixth principle in the study of Genesis. At the conclusion of your detailed study of Genesis, summarize briefly but fully the message of the entire book. The diagram which I want to give you concerning Genesis is somewhat similar to the one I've already given, but with a little more detail filled in. We use this thickly shaded figure for Genesis, emphasizing the fact that it is the book of foundation. We divide it into two parts, according to the first 11 chapters and the last 39 chapters of the book. The first 11 chapters are foundational truths in general, and the last 39 chapters have to do with these foundational characters and foundational characteristics. In terms of the first 11 chapters, I like to draw two globes of the world. One of those globes of the world has to do with chapters 1 and 2. And the other has to do with chapters 3 to 11. Under the first globe, chapters 1 and 2, I like to write the word creator. Great revelation in chapters 1 and 2 has to do with God as the creator. And then under the second globe of the world, in chapters 3 to 11, I like to write the word redeemer. In a special way, chapters 3 to 11 present God as the redeemer. Now notice, in chapters 1 and 2, I have this dotted line crossed. And then in chapters 3 to 11, I have the thickly shaded cross. Now you see the reason for this. I have the dotted line cross in chapters 1 and 2 to emphasize the way in which the Holy Spirit tells the story of creation. The Holy Spirit tells the story of creation in order to prepare for the story of redemption. In other words, chapters 1 and 2 are not telling the story of creation as an end in itself, but as a means to the end of redemption. And that's why I put this dotted line cross in chapters 1 and 2. Then I have the thickly shaded cross in chapters 3 to 11, because there we have the message of redemption presented in a very clear way. On one part of the cross, I like to write the word promise. And on the other part of the cross, I like to write the word provision. We have the promise of redemption in 3:15. And then God's provision of redemption in chapter 3, verse 21. 3:15, of course, is this great prophecy of Christ as the seed of the woman who will bruise the serpent's head. And then in 3:21, we have the provision of redemption in the coats of skins that are provided to cover spiritual nakedness. Then in order to make this part complete, we have the need of redemption in these three ever-widened circles. The need of redemption for the individual, the need of redemption for the family, and the need of redemption for the whole human race. Then up here in chapters 11 to 50, we'll use the same general diagram that we've been using before. We have these four great pivotal characters: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. In the left-hand margin each time, we write the way in which each one filled his place in the history of redemption. And then in the right-hand margin, the foundational characteristic in his life. We summarize Abraham's place by the word pioneer, Isaac by the word son, or connecting link, Jacob by the word head, the head of the 12 tribes, and Joseph by the word exalter. Joseph is the one called to exalt God and to exalt the Messianic family. And then in the right-hand margin, each time we notice the foundational characteristic in each life. In Abraham, it's the characteristic of faith. In Isaac, it's the characteristic of submissiveness. In Jacob, it's the characteristic of God's sufficiency over against self-sufficiency. Grace sufficiency over against self-sufficiency. And in Joseph, it's the characteristic of completeness of character, including all these other things. So that's the brief diagram that I like to use as a summary of Genesis. Beyond the diagrams that I give you, one thing I'm trying to accomplish through getting you to draw a diagram of each book is to urge you to try to get a diagram so you can give the overall picture of a book. And through the years, I found it true that if I've had great difficulty in drawing a diagram for a particular book of the Bible, it's a pretty good sign of the fact that I haven't been really at home in the central message of that particular book of the Bible. On page 31, we continue what we started last time with the seventh principle of studying Genesis. Before you conclude your study of Genesis, be sure that you're clear in your views concerning the precious doctrine of Old Testament salvation. What is the foundation and the starting point in the study of Old Testament salvation?